Dearly beloved, Christ suffered for us, leaving you an example that you should follow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. It's been over a year now since the mayhem has really begun in our society. It's been over a year, and perhaps something that all of us have done from time to time is look around us and see the people and how they act and see how they are, what they are doing and what they are believing to be going on out there, and wonder to ourselves, how is it that nobody gets what is going on? Why is it that without even a question, without even a concern or a worry, they immediately just throw on their masks everywhere they go at every opportunity they have? Why is it that they, when despite the fact that it is a dangerous experimental genetic manipulation without any proving of success or safety, they hurry to be the first in line. They hurry to receive it without a second thought to what the repercussions, both short and long term, may be. Why is it that they are completely accepting of the continual moving of the goalposts as to what is acceptable for society and what burdens we must suffer under and changes we must endure? Why is it that we look around ourselves and we see so many go along so willingly? It's a natural question to ask. And the answer is one that is really quite simple. Most men are sheep. Most men follow. In connotation with society, this takes on a negative. People don't want to think of themselves as necessarily mere sheep and mere followers. But that's the reality, is that most people are meant to follow. Most people, being a social being that man is, are meant to go along with what the crowd does, what everybody else around them is doing, to be influenced and to be led and to perform their part and do their duty and to look to the greater number for the guidance and the leadership that they need. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Really, it's actually a good thing in general, because this is how God has arranged our society, has wired man. He has made them to follow. He has made them to serve. He has made them to be their little cog in the wheel of a greater good, of a greater society as a whole, whether it be a family, a town, a city, or a country, or a church itself. All of those things, everybody has their place and their role. We cannot have too many leaders and have no followers, because it'll be massive chaos in itself. However, where it is a strength to have the majority to be hardwired to follow, as it were, it is not without its pitfalls. It is for that very reason, when you think about it, that you know that man is largely meant to follow. It's for that very reason that you worry about your children and who they spend time with and who they are, and what influences they fall under. Because you know that they are very easily influenced. They are very easily swayed. And if they are around bad company, they could easily be led astray and led into sin and to bad habits and to all of the rest. It's not a bad thing. It is a prudent caution that we look after them to ensure that they have good company, good friends, good influences in their lives, so that they may stay upon that straight and narrow pathway towards virtue. And it is why we find ourselves, though, in the trouble we are as a society. Again, because it is not without its pitfalls to simply follow. Everything around us could move in the positive if there were good leaders in the position of leadership, if there are good influences upon the masses, yet those that we see entrusted with those positions are undeserving of them and have abused them in ways which far exceeds what could be understood as reasonable. Think about the media, and that we turn on any kind of vessel of news, and immediately we realize that we are being fed lies. There is nowhere to turn for good news. CNN is a vessel of lies, but Fox is nearly just as bad. Remember, they too peddle these same ideas and messages that forward the agenda that is tearing our society apart. They play their part on the opposite end of the spectrum. Democrats are crazy, but Republicans, they too are corrupt and morally debauched. It's our orange savior, if I may remind you, that paraded Fauci out before us, that gave him the position of being in charge of the entire COVID agenda, that gave him the daily platform on television to spread his terror and his lies. It was his idea to push forward in a rapid and untested fashion any ideas of a vaccine, which he still supports to this very day, despite two already having been recalled due to major health crises. And it's even the best amongst their representatives. We could point out somebody like a Kristi Noem from South Dakota, who we see clearly and easily sell herself out at the first opportunity when it's convenient. She sells out the natural law because a staffer of her is a major recipient of donations from the NCAA. And she grandstands on TV, being sure to let all the cameras see her in line at the clinic. So, with that, who do we look to for leadership? We've made it this far, and we've largely kept our heads about us. But it hasn't ended, and it's not going to end anytime soon. Where do we look to? It is to the Good Shepherd to whom we turn. Now, I don't mean that as simply a pious platitude. I don't say, oh, we turn to God and we follow God and that's how we stay on the safe and narrow. That has no substance to it whatsoever. It sounds nice, but it is vacant. No, I mean it in all sincerity. I mean it that we need to focus on how we are spending our time, putting forth our efforts, and putting our focus in our lives to reflect that of one who is trying to always see and follow after his master, the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do so? So often, it comes back to the simplest of things, our catechism. Think about it. Many of you learn this as small children. Why did God make He made me to love him, to know him, and to serve him in this life, so that I may be happy with him in the next. Those are the three things I need to do. I need to know him, I need to love him, and I need to serve him. If I do those three things successfully, he will see that I am led through whatever difficulties come my way. So first, I need to know him. How do I know the Good Shepherd? It is to spend the time and actually looking and reading and learning about the things of our faith, the things of his life, to spend time meditating upon him. When was the last time you picked up the scriptures and read? If you spend 15 minutes reading from the Bible, it carries with it an indulgence. Did you know that? Simple 15 minutes. Because it's so important that we learn from all the things written down that are protected by the Holy Ghost there. Your catechism. Do you return to study your catechism? I say this because right to start, I point out the very pathway is through the basic catechism, the understanding the basics of our faith. We as priests, we get opportunities to teach catechism regularly to people who are converts. I always tell those converts that every time I'm given that opportunity, it is an opportunity for me. Because every time I teach the catechism, every time I get a chance to go through it again, read it again, and present it and instruct about it, I learn more from that catechism than I had not known before. The depths I am able to pull out of it are great, because our faith has no bounds to its depth. And even though I review things that I already may have committed to memory, I understand it in a greater way every time I study it. Meditation, spending time meditating on the things, the life of our Lord. It would come through a perfect example. All of the season of Lent and that first week of Easter, each Mass gives us a different text, and each one is filled with various points of meditation and reflection if we took the time to read it and then sit and think about it in a prayerful way, where we can apply it to our lives, how what we can learn from that, spending a little bit of time in that quiet reflection. The reading even of the saints is an important part of that. Why? Because we understand God more when we see those who have been successful in following after him, what they have done in their lives, and we can apply it to ourselves. So we must know our Lord. Secondarily, we must love our Lord. What does that mean? Well, in its truest sense, it means sanctifying grace. Not only possessing it, but increasing it, fortifying it. Because it is in that love of God, or it is in that sanctifying grace, that we embrace the love of God. We cannot be said to love God and be void of sanctifying grace. At the same time, we cannot possess sanctifying grace and be said to be enemies of God. The two are mutually exclusive to each other. So when we realize that, we focus on our soul. What do we do to guard our soul, strengthen our soul, to bring ourselves closer to God? We find the means of grace, and we draw from that wellspring as often as we can. Our opportunities to come to the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of Holy Communion, and even when we are unable to come, to make those points of desire by the spiritual communion, to express to our Lord our desire to be unified with him in that intimate way. What a great source of strength and grace comes to us through these good and holy sacraments. Our prayers, that time that we have set aside to love God through the words that we offer to him, to lift up our hearts, minds, and souls to him, to unite ourselves in that way in our day-to-day life. I don't mean simply that, oh, well, I think about God throughout the day. That doesn't count as praying. I mean, it does in a very minor way, but to actually invest yourself in our Lord, give him part of your day. Take the time and push through the distractions and push through the shortness of time and actually give of yourself to him, of your prayers. And our sacrifices, those things that we offer up, like we have during Lent, and now we look to do in our own time, in our own volition, throughout the rest of the year, those giving of ourselves in the way of small sacrifices to be more closely united to him. We love God by doing all we can to strengthen our souls. And we serve him. The service of God comes from the imitation of God. We do his will by following in his footsteps. Each of us has a different vocation in life. Yes, we have different things that we must do, of course. But the pathway is strikingly similar for all of us because it embodies the practice of virtue. Virtue is the actions in which we follow in those footsteps of our Lord. Virtue is what the epistle expressly tells us that we should do in following that example given to us. What does it say of our Lord? It says that he is reviled and does not revile. He suffered, and yet he threatened not. Virtue is the practice of the good in the times it is most difficult. I don't mean being kind to those who are kind to you. I mean looking and searching after the opportunities to do something that is not what I would incline to do, but I know to be truly good in the eyes of God. To see my own failings and weaknesses, my primary faults, and to say, how do I practice the contrary virtues to them? How do I do these things more perfectly so that I can grow? If mine is the one of anger, how do I more perfectly embody the meekness? If I am going to be one who lacks in charity at times through my faults, how do I exercise that very virtue that I lack in? If I'm going to be one who is tempted towards gluttony, how do I practice temperance? Any of those faults that we have, they have contrary virtues to them. Those are the areas where we need to work on the most in the way of virtue, doing it when it is difficult. And in those ways that we are more successful, embrace them and continue to increase those things. If we don't merely try to fight temptation, but look for opportunities to be virtuous, then we follow in those footsteps of the Good Shepherd. And by doing these simple things and trying to make it a focal point of our daily life, we are fighting the good fight. We are treading along that narrow pathway, that pathway that we know is strewn with pitfalls and difficulties, but ultimately that leads us to the greenest of pastures, eternal life. That is how we truly keep ourselves away from all the rest of the false leaders and modes to lead us to difficulty and to ruin. No matter what goes on in the world around us, it is not our concern. Our concern is to strengthen our souls so that we always may follow the good and true Master, to keep ourselves focused on the eternal life rather than simply reach for the low-hanging fruit of what is easy around us, what the herd is always doing. No, if the shepherd calls us, we turn to him, even if the rest of the sheep go the opposite direction, because it is only through the good shepherd that we find that safety and refuge in goodness as our leader. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.